This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Tell me you love me. I need a good laugh. I'm holy water. You need a good bath. Whiskey and perfume. You had a nightcap. Now how about that? A perfect stranger. He's got a bullet with your name in the chamber. I'm body organ, rearranger. You feel my danger. This I'm a bitch. Guess the last word. All your excuses keep coming faster. But your mouth cannot warm my blaster. This time a bitch gets the last word. Against the office door. Now every memory's a lie you were telling. You go out the victim and I go out the villain. This time a bitch gets the last word. All your excuses keep coming faster. But your mouth cannot warm my blaster. This time a bitch gets the last word. This time a bitch gets the last word. Don't try to lie, cause I know your password. Now here's your violin.
Time. Welcome to the Nooner Show. I'm J Dubs.
And I'm Denise Brennan Nelson.
And we're broadcasting live from PodcastDetroit.com from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in the fabulous Ferndale. And it's hump day.
Woohoo! Yeah. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Gosh, I feel like we haven't been here in a while.
I know. Did you miss me?
Yes, I did.
You did? Oh, gosh. There was a pregnant pause there, I felt. There.
Pregnant? Stop. There you go. About my looks again. Stop.
Yeah, no.
Trust me, there's no pregnancy going on here. This is all real wine guts.
It's a wine baby.
It is a wine baby. It's a Cabernet baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Baby's wine enough.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, my baby's never whined.
Anyway, so how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. I missed you.
You did?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's almost like we talk and talk and talk and text and email and then all of a sudden it's like you fall off the face of the earth.
I know, but we've been doing that same routine now, you know, for the past 25 years. We talk for a couple of years and we go away. Then we come back with, hey, let's get together and start this. Yeah.
Hey, okay. Let's do a podcast. Except that we were doing so great and then I didn't hear from you. I thought, wow, what happened? But I know. It was the holiday. It was Thanksgiving.
I know. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. Thank you for letting me take last Wednesday off.
Oh, letting you take it? You weren't going to show. That's the way it goes.
I begged and pleaded and said, please, please let me stay on the peel potatoes.
No, it actually worked out really good. And
I know. Weren't you, like, that morning, didn't you, like, get on your knees and bow to me?
No, I definitely did not do that.
Didn't you think, oh, thank goodness I listened to her this once?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't bow. But anyway, you had Thanksgiving at your house, right?
I did.
So,
yep. It was we ended up with 16 people.
Okay.
Which, you know, doesn't sound as.
Well, that's a good. That's
once
a
it's
good
over,
group.
It's like, well, it was. Mm-hmm. It was. It was a lot of fun. We started at noon, and it was about 11:30 when I crawled into bed.
Wow, really?
So it was a long day.
That is a long day.
It was.
And
a lot of food.
Oh, I love the food.
I know.
It's my favorite day of the year.
You know, yes, I will say. I heard that the average American consumes 4,500 calories on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, I'm probably about 4,000 of those. So you guys are probably the other 500.
No, I mean each person consumes 4,500 calories.
Oh, seriously?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So no, we did not split 500 between us, right, Jessica and Kevin?
No.
No. Wow. 45, that's
seriously?
A lot.
That is a lot.
But I can believe
no.
it.
No.
You don't think?
Sorry. Jessica?
What?
Do you think that you consumed 4,500 calories on Thanksgiving Day?
Not me, because I was not feeling so well, so I didn't really.
Oh, I wish I wasn't.
I think we ended
so
up
well.
Getting like Taco Bell because we were both sick.
I wasn't feeling so well after. By
right.
the end
I bet yeah. not. Well, everybody was pretty much in a turkey coma from you know, whatever. I didn't want to go get my family sick, so yeah, I know that they got fat and happy that day.
Did you play your trivia games and all that stuff with your family?
We didn't play trivia games, but we did play Taboo. We played darts. We played ping pong. We played all sorts of fun things.
Table tennis.
Yes, you're right. It is. Tennis. It's not ping pong anymore. Somebody
really?
Else corrected me on. Thank you, Kevin. Really? No, it's called table tennis.
Why?
I don't know, because that sounds more sporty than ping pong.
No, ping pong's the noise it makes. Table
ping
tennis.
Ping pong. Okay. Hey, let's write a song.
Let's not. We do have Kevin Sharp here today. We could write
Hello?
A song.
I know we could. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh,
he's already been talking to me about signing me. You know?
He's not talking to you about it. She does it every time we have like a PR person or a musician. She thinks they're here to scout her. Denise, they're not. They're not. Okay?
Should I sing my rendition of David Cassidy?
No, you should not. This
All
is
right.
about the
I love
most,
David Cassidy.
Oh, God.
I think I love you.
Oh,
I know every word to that song.
I think
why doesn't somebody remake that, by the way?
Somebody did. His
they
daughter.
Did. Really?
Yep.
Who?
His
daughter?
Yeah, her name is Cassie Cassidy, I think.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
was a massive failure.
That's why we haven't heard of it.
Okay. Oh, well,
so you still have a shot.
Okay, well, I've got a good remake of it.
Go visit. You know, you actually, I mean, seriously, I think you do have a good voice. Kevin,
I could be a backup singer, maybe.
You think so?
Backup singers are generally more talented than the lead singer because they have to harmonize.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well, forget it. No.
They have to harmonize. No. They
My point.
Blend.
Thank you.
You should just be the lead.
They have to sing counterpoint.
They can manufacture you today.
Can I just, can I tell you this? I know I come across like I think I really don't. And when I was little, young, somebody told me that I couldn't sing.
That you couldn't sing?
That I couldn't sing. And it affected me. I know this. I'm being serious. It affected me deeply. And for a long time, I didn't sing.
You don't look very affected. But I'm sure you went through many years of counseling.
But I talk to kids about it all the time. And I say that I let what somebody said to me, what somebody thought, get inside my head and stop me from doing something that I loved to do. For a long time, I'd start to sing and I'd be like, okay.
Haven't we all done that, though? I mean, isn't it?
I know.
You know?
Yeah, I did
so
that Friday when I got drunk. My boyfriend was not happy about the situation.
Oh, and you let it affect you?
No,
you
not at
drinking?
All. No, I did not. I kept playing the same song over and over again. That's why you wanted me to. That's why you wanted to stab me in my aorta. It was like 15 times. I would have been upset too.
Notice how she's holding her mini martini glass.
I know. Talking about
and it still hasn't stopped.
I thought you meant that your boyfriend was upset because you were drunk.
No, I think he was just upset because he had to listen to the same song over and over
what was
and
the
over
song?
And over again. I don't even remember now.
I think I love you. But I really don't. I just think it. She changed the words and that's what he was upset
about. We should, you know, that would be a fun contest to have
What's
people
that?
Submit their rewritten versions of old songs.
we'll get really good musicians doing that. That wouldn't be funny. I mean, if you and I were doing it, it would be funny. But
you could do it like a Weird Al version of every song. You know?
There you go. A Weird Denise song.
I drugged you. Or something like that. It'd be interesting.
All right. You wouldn't believe what's going through my head right now. And I'm editing, edit.
Yeah, remember, this is a family show. Right? You pointed that out last time.
I think I hugged you.
Something like that.
One more. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so.
See, this is why I missed you.
I know. I missed you, too. So, now, so your dinner party went good.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is over, and we're on our way to Christmas. Are you decorating? Are you decorated?
No. Am I decorated already? No.
Oh.
No. We have what? How many more weeks?
We only have 23 days.
Yeah.
Oh, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, I usually start
December
the week
2nd.
Up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Then do you keep it up through March?
No. Actually, right after Thanksgiving, I like it down, put away. Yeah. I'm one
she
of
kicks
people.
It down after Thanksgiving, so 11 months a year it's up.
We're talking about Thanksgiving, right after Christmas, the day after I want it down.
I don't like it
up. I don't like it up.
Too much longer, because I'm tired of all the clutter.
Yeah.
It's like, get me back to my...
Yeah, well, by then my tree's dead anyway, so...
Oh, you get a real tree.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
sometimes. What about you?
No, I have a...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised, Miss natural, organic, healthy, you know.
Well, we used to cut a tree down, and then, I don't know, they came out with so many fabulous pre-lit trees.
Yeah, they
and,
really do have.
The one I have is cool because you can make it really tall, or you can take out the middle section and make it...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a beautiful tree. I got it at Bourdain's, and now some of the lights don't work, and it's getting old.
Yeah. So what about Black Friday? Did you go do any shopping?
I didn't go, but my kids did. Rebecca and Rachel
went. Really?
They actually went to Novi Mall.
12 Oaks?
12 Oaks, yes.
Oh, my
12
God.
Oaks, you're right.
And I love that mall, though. That's a nice mall.
Rebecca, who's 20, what's Rebecca, 26, she said that it was all young teenagers.
Really?
Yes. She couldn't believe it.
Were they buying or were they just, is it the
probably
new hangout
probably not. Just
thing?
A kind of a hangout thing on Thanksgiving.
You mean get away from the family and go hang out at the mall. No
good
kidding.
Excuse,
young
right.
kids, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they got a few, you know, good deals and all that. No, I don't. I've never shopped. I'm not into Black Friday. I'm not into Cyber Monday. And everybody now says that you can get most of those deals throughout until Christmas.
Yeah, and it really is true. I mean, it's just not worth beating up. You know,
pre Black Friday sale.
Yeah, exactly.
The week before Black Friday
right.
sale.
Yeah. They have all the sales. So Third Man Records opened up on Black Friday. Kevin, did you hear about that?
Yeah, Jack White's new Detroit store.
Did you go?
No. And it was a lot of people standing around in the rain as I.
I heard that there were hundreds of people, and
it was a good turnout. I think
it was a good turnout.
Now, what's his name?
Jack White.
Not Jack White. What's the name of the store?
Oh, Third Man Records.
Third Man Records.
And he has a store in Nashville.
Yes.
He's originally from Detroit, but he moved to Nashville. And you know what was ironic is I just saw an interview with him over the weekend with Dan Rather. Did you see that interview?
I did not.
It was such a good interview. And then I see that he has his grand opening in Detroit. He didn't even talk about that, so I don't know if this interview was pre-taped, like, you know, before or after. I'm not sure.
What kind of store is it?
It's all vinyl
records.
Really?
And they do a lot of special releases, like they did a lot of the early, before Motown was Motown, it was Kamala, and they re-released like the first five releases on vinyl.
No, I would love to get one of those records.
Yeah, he has his own pressing plant, so that's kind of cool.
Right. Now, you know what's really interesting is his first cousin, Ruth Feely, was my maid of honor.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I used to hear about him all the time. And
Jack
you know.
White's first cousin was your maid of honor?
Yeah, Ruth Feely.
Wow.
You probably know her. She used to...
I don't know near the people you know, Jackie.
Okay. No.
And when we talk about music, I'm like, okay, so wait, back to the vinyl store.
Yeah. So anyway, so that happened on Black Friday. I would have loved to have gone to that. I'm still going to go check it out at some point.
Where's it at?
It's in Detroit. I think it's over by Wayne State, isn't it?
It's in the Cass Quarter.
Yeah, isn't that over by...
It's on 7th Street, I believe.
I think it's cool that he opened it up in Detroit.
I mean, do, too.
Just another cool thing that's happening in Detroit.
Exactly, yeah.
Which
exactly.
I love your shirt that you're wearing, by the way.
What's
Detroit
that
Detroit versus everybody.
Yep, I love it. Whose shirt is
it
that?
It feels that way.
Well, it started off as an Eminem song, I think. But,
really?
But it's kind of become a movement.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I
we
like
need
that.
Those shirts.
So anyway, yesterday was National Giving Day. Did you know that?
I gave.
You did? To who? We're not talking about Bob. We're talking about charities here. I bet you did give.
I do give.
Every day is
give
a giving day
and
for
give
me.
And give. Oh. Actually, we did give a bunch of old towels to the Humane Society.
You did?
Not yesterday, a couple weeks ago.
That's
but we did.
Great idea. Old towels?
Old towels. I mean, just things that got, you know, that are a little bit worn and and they
for
use
the
them.
Pets?
Yeah, for the dogs and cats and bunnies and yeah.
That is a great idea. But yeah, I've
bunnies
never heard
of this. Bunnies don't bathe. Do they really need towels?
What? Who doesn't bathe?
Bunnies.
They don't?
They
don't.
They clean themselves like cats do, I would imagine.
Well, oh, you mean like lick themselves?
Never actually seen it, but I just don't see a bunny like using a towel.
It's not like they take their paws and do the back scratching.
It's like you see the bunny comes out of the bathroom with the towel wrapped around its ears.
At Denise's house, that would happen. I can assure you that.
I've seen bunnies with less than that on before. No.
We're not talking about Bob. I know that's your nickname for him, Bunny. No, no more alcohol, Jessica. Put the bottle down, but thank you.
I think they use them. Well, I don't think they put them down in their kennels, but I think they use them for a lot of different things. You know, clean up and things like
that. No, I think that's a great idea. I never thought about that.
I know.
Speaking of giving, though, guess what?
What'd you give?
What did I give?
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't yet, but, the parlor is doing a big event, actually. We collect blankets, gently used or new blankets, and we have some friends of ours that every year, it's a father-son team, every year on Christmas Day, they drive around Detroit and they put the blankets over the homeless people to keep them warm.
On Christmas Day?
Right on Christmas Day. They've been doing this for years.
Huh? Who is this?
A couple of friends of ours. So the parlor is getting involved this year because we're going to be collecting the blankets and we'll give it to them, and that's what they do. It's a father-son. It's actually a pretty interesting story. For a long time, he really didn't want me to talk about it, so I'm not even going to say his name right now. But it started because many years ago, he went through a really, really difficult time with job loss and everything else, and was in a really bad place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around the holidays, and he just started, you know, driving around, just thinking. And it was one of those really cold winters, and he noticed homeless people in Detroit and started thinking to himself, that could be me. I really don't have it that bad. So needless to say, he started collecting blankets. And around the winter that year, I think it was about 5 years ago, started just handing out the blankets. And that sort of kind of helped him realize that, you know, what he was going through really didn't compare, you know.
That's a great story.
And it is a great story, because what's really cool about it is his son got involved. His son goes to college, and he's home for the holidays. And his son got involved, and it's a father-son thing, and they do it on Christmas Day. That's what they do. So they get blankets, and they just go pass them around.
What a great idea. So at the parlor, which is in Hadley,
mm-hmm.
people can bring gently used blankets, donate them there, or if people have them, they're listening, and they can get them to me.
Right.
I love that.
I do too.
And I love that they do it on Christmas Day.
Which kind of surprised me. I remember talking to him and I said, when do you do it? Like the week before? He said, no, we do it right on Christmas Day. And I said, really?
It has even more meaning.
Yeah.
And especially to the people receiving the blankets.
Well, and you know what I love is that it's a father-son thing. You know, he's divorced and that's what him and his son do.
Great thing to teach your kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you know, like you said, he thought he was having such a bad time himself. And
right.
Isn't that what happens when we start to look at other people? We think, okay,
it's
our
not
situation
so bad.
Isn't so bad.
Well, and I think, too, when you're in that really dark place, it's got to be hard to try and help somebody else, you know, but
because you get consumed with yourself and how you feel.
Consumed with yourself, exactly. And for some reason, driving around that area. I mean, he wasn't looking for any. He was just driving around because it was the holidays. He was depressed, and that just hit him, and that changed everything. And now it's become a father-son tradition.
I love it.
I do too.
We should put it out there, and maybe we'll put it on Facebook. But for people that have a story like that, where they know somebody or a group or an organization that's doing something like that,
right?
You know, let's start
maybe
sharing it.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it.
I agree. But speaking of giving too, IT and the D. December charity.
Yes.
So that's next week. It's
next Thursday.
Next Thursday, December 10th. It's at 5 p.m. And this is like a toy drive that they have. And this will be our first time participating. We're actually going to get to co-host with our good friend Stone Perkins' Five Gear Show. So the shows on Thursday night are going to be broadcasting from, it's the Falling Down Beer Company in Warren.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's like a big party. I mean, they have live music. They're going to have raffles. And you bring a toy, bring lots of toys, bring... if you don't want to go buy toys, then you can make a cash donation or a check. But it's and all the shows from Thursday night will be broadcasting live that night. And it's a big party for a great, great cause.
And they have
a lot of good music. Yeah.
Is there, you know, well, let's put that on our Facebook page as well.
Well, why don't we, Denise? I love how you look at me like that and tell me to do it.
Well, no, I'm actually, that's, hello,
where's
CEO.
Our CEO? Where is our little
hello, Becca, our CEO. But yeah. Because there might be people, you're saying it's at the Falling Down Brewery in Warren.
In Warren.
What time are we going to be
beer
there?
Beer company. And it starts at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And it's bring toys, or you can make a, like I said, a cash monetary donation.
Cool.
Live music, raffles, they're going to have giveaways, and it's just going to be a big party. And all the shows are going to broadcast on Thursday night live from that place. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And what's really cool about this brewery is that the owner is opening up another place in Oxford, too.
Oh, so, that's right. Isn't that where he's from?
I think he's from Metamora. He's from my hometown.
I know they have some amazing beer.
Yeah. So that's Thursday, December 10th, and we are going to... Stone Perkins invited us back.
I know. I'm surprised.
I am too. Well, wait, because he's going to be on.
He adores you guys.
Oh, we love him. Denise tries to talk like him. She's hoping that
I'm Stone Perkins.
That's not how he sounds, Denise.
I know.
He's not even close.
Sorry, Stone.
He's a lot sexier than you are, Denise. Sorry.
We are looking for it. That's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a blast.
That's what makes the holiday so much fun, I think.
I know. Just doing stuff like that and having a good time while you're doing it. You know, so everybody
and
benefits.
I get to be with you.
Yeah.
Jessica, are you coming?
Oh, yeah. I'll be doing those shows that night, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to be
you? Kevin, are you going to be there?
I don't think so.
Why?
What?
What day is it again?
We'll get with you, Kevin. Yeah, you have to be there.
We'll send you.
All right. Yeah. I can possibly be there next Thursday.
It's going to be a party. You have to be there.
Yeah. All right.
So, anyway.
All right. Well. So, what time is it?
It's nooner time. We already did that. Do I need to read that spiel over?
It's not nooner time. It's time for our favorite segment, which is...
What's the wish? What's the way? What's in the way?
And we love this segment. You know, life is a journey, and along the way, we all have struggles and hardships, accomplishments, and blessings. And this segment is dedicated to showcasing and sharing the stories of common and extraordinary individuals, some combination of both, who have just done some amazing things, and we're so excited. We love this. This is really the essence of our show, and here to share his story with us today is Kevin Sharp.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, Adele.
I've called 1,000 times. You finally picked up.
Oh, gosh.
Doesn't it? Like, Adele, everybody loves Adele.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, before we start with Kevin, I do want to say a couple of things about Kevin. He is the pillar of the Detroit music scene. And
local legend.
You are.
I'm just kidding.
And you're not just local. I mean, your passion, your talent for recording and producing has attracted some of the most recognized musicians around the world, really, nationally and internationally. And your work ethic, this is what I know about Kevin Sharp, is he does not allow himself to sell the dream. His goal is to help musicians turn their dreams into reality. So he is the co-founder of Metro 37 Recording Studios. Welcome, Kevin Sharp.
Hello, Nooner Show.
Hello.
Thank you very much. That was a wonderful intro. Thank you.
Yes, it was.
A pillar? Well, I'm going to have to try harder, but I'm going to do my best.
You're a smaller pillar, though.
Yes.
Which we're going to talk about that, too. We are going to talk about this great journey and transformation that you're going through. But we want to start with the beginning. So let's talk about Metro 37, the creation of it, the birth of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I had a studio out of my various basements since the 90s, maybe even earlier than that. But in 2005, I was working on a television show, and it was coming to an end. So my wife said, hey, why don't you open your own studio? And I'm like, nobody opens studios anymore. You can do it on your computer. And she goes, not quite like you can. So she talked me into it, and Metro Recording Studio was born. And, you know, thanks to the, you know, the where I was working before, the television show and stuff, I made some great contacts and stuff. So I opened a studio, and it was rough at first. But then I made a deal with 89X when I was involved with their $10,000 Battle of the Bands. And basically they mentioned my name 1,000 times on the radio over 6 months. And fortunately I had done some stuff before the television show that people remembered, thankfully. And when they started doing the 89X thing, for 6 months, they just said, you know, well, the prize brought to you by a Metro Recording Studio. And then all of a sudden, you know, people go, you'd meet somebody at the music store or whatever and go, hey, I'm Kevin. I own Metro Recording Studio. They go, oh, you're that guy. You know?
Yeah.
What do you charge an hour? And I'd be like, a lot. No, not really. It was a very modest amount because I figured, hey, they don't got a lot of money, and you know, the musicians are got a lot of responsibilities, and they're usually not working career type jobs if they're being a musician. So they're working service jobs or whatever, and they don't have a lot of money. So I wanted to support them, and they just like they supported me, and so that's where it started, and it continued from there, and I grew from one place to another place to another place. And
to about a 4,000 square foot place right?
You know, you followed me all the way through the whole thing.
Yeah.
We heard about I had just left a place and was going to get a storefront on the east side. And then I get this email from this cat named Matt Dalton, who I'd never met before. And he's like, well, you know, I'm leaving my thing. I'm getting rid of my fixed costs, and I want to just freelance. Can I use your studio? And I'm saying, sure. Where were you working? And he goes, Midwest. Well, the old place that used to be Midwest. And Midwest was a great recording studio built by this guy named Darian. And I'm like, okay, maybe I need to come work at your place because it's a beautiful building, right? It was run down and needed paint and stuff, but it was a great studio, purpose-built to be a studio. So that's how Metro 37 was born, when he was running 37 Studios and I was running Metro Recording Studio. So
okay.
He sent me an email. I went over there. My wife at the time happened to be in Europe, and I said, we're not getting the storefront. And she goes, I really like the place. I know a gift from God when I see one. And Matt and I have become good friends and good partners, and it's unique because engineers and producers are very competitive.
Right.
So it's like you always worry, oh, is he going to steal my clients or whatever?
Right.
And the thing is that that's never happened.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I'm blessed to have met him, and the opportunity that 89X gave me, and that was brought about by Mike Scott, I should say.
From Critical Bell, excuse me.
Sorry to clear my voice on – yeah, I should have let her
know.
Have
a drink there.
No, that's all right. Anyway, so Mike kind of hooked me up, and he's always continued to put opportunities in front of me. So we started this out. It was really rough to begin with because, you know, I had left another partner and I only had a little bit of gear. And so a couple friends kind of came in, hey, this is a great place. Let's be a part of that. And that was Ryan Reaney, who's still, you know.
Wow. So this group is still together then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's been how many years?
Since 2008.
Because that's unusual in the music business.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, it's one of those things where we complement each other very well.
Right.
Again, like Matt's the ultimate partner. I mean, I can't think of a partnership that's lasted longer because we don't overlap in clients. Sometimes I can bail him out. He's always there to bail me out. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like whenever I'm having a good time, you know, he's having a little bit of downtime. Plus, he runs a, you know, dirt fest. So
right.
He gets really busy for 3 months in the summer. And it's just it's a beautiful, wonderful, mutually beneficial relationship. It's not without its, you know, problems every once in a while. But basically, we're great partners. And
let me ask you this. I mean, so it sounds like it was random how you guys got together. But did you guys have a plan together to grow it? Because it's really grown, that studio. I mean, was there a business plan? Was there an agreement? Or
no, it really wasn't. I mean, at first it was just survival for both of us. Because, again, he had almost left that place. So someone else could have snagged it.
Wow.
Snatched it up, and we've renovated it completely.
Yeah,
upgraded equipment. I mean, basically every dollar that's profit's been spent on fixing something or painting something, or, you know, buying a cool piece of equipment or whatever. And it seems like, wow, we're making all this investment, and I'm not really seeing anything about it. But then all of a sudden, the tipping point happened, and it really happened in March this year.
And so what else happened, though?
Well, I mean, Matt's always had, you know, clients from out of state and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've always had a, you know, smattering of them here and there, or relationships I've built up with people. But then all of a sudden I get a phone call and it's like, well, we need 3 weeks of studio time in November. And I'm like, it's March. We're going to, you know, November is my busiest time. So, well, we'll send you a deposit. No problem. So who do I make the bill out to? Fall Out Boy Incorporated.
Jeez.
So I'm like, I'm on the phone with this guy and I'm just trying to be, you know, oh, cool. Great.
Yeah, it's like nice. It's no big deal.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
I deal with
no big deal. Meanwhile,
like
meanwhile, if there was a video of me, you know, it would be like jumping up and down and stuff on the inside. And to be honest with you, it's like I really wanted, like, you know, tell a story, because it's like it was a catalyst to a huge excuse me. Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry.
It was a catalyst to huge changes in my life, because you know, I'm sitting there going, wow, this is band, Fall Out Boy, or, you know, it was just the singer, actually, but going to come to my studio to, you know, work on material, and this is awesome, you know, and I started thinking, it's like, this is a really cool thing, and then I just started examining things in my life. Do I, you know, it's like, I was extremely overweight, and then I thought about, what kind of memory am I going to leave my son behind? Because, I mean, he loves Fall Out Boy. I mean, mm-hmm. he looks like the lead singer. His fashion statement is, I'm looking
oh,
like the lead
wow.
singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's 13.
Okay. I do a shout out to Casey.
Yeah, Casey.
Hi, Casey.
He's awesome. My son is the biggest blessing in my life. Aww. I mean, without a doubt. So I started really thinking about, you know, what kind of memories am I leaving him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody that weighed, like, you know, well over 450 pounds, I was like, this is not, you know, if I was to die tomorrow, he'd remember going to the movies and going out to eat. He wouldn't remember going to the zoo. He wouldn't remember going to Cedar Point.
Because you
like
didn't,
that.
You couldn't do anything.
I couldn't
of that
do
stuff.
It. I couldn't walk from the parking lot. And it's embarrassing to talk about, but I'll talk about it now, because it's like the change that happened because I got this one phone call. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know, and it's like, and then it was a few days later. It's like I just go, you know, I've got to make some changes, and obviously I can't do it like on my own. So it started with a phone call to my father and talking about different options, and he was like, "Well, just do, I'll do something. I, you know, I'll support you in it." So, and that's what I did.
Wow. And, so that was in March?
That was March, yes. And on March 25th, I went to a doctor. His name is Dr. Mark Pleatman. Very. Mm-hmm. And it's like we negotiated a cash price because I didn't have insurance. Mm-hmm. And then insurance, maybe, like, if you're going to go have, you know, get a weight loss surgery, they make you, like, jump through hoops for, like, 18 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, don't they do? Don't they, like, test and
– Yeah,
they want to make sure that you're the right candidate or however
yeah,
you
I mean,
word that.
Yeah, the thing is that they try to prepare you for the changes. And even though he did prepare me for the changes, I was not prepared. So anyway, basically, since then – I've dropped about 155 pounds.
Since March.
Yeah, since March. And it's like, it's pretty dramatic, because you
yeah.
run into people and they're like,
yeah,
you seen Kevin? Like, you know, it's like I've lost
it's
as much
me.
Weight as a grown human man. I've lost that yeah. much weight. And the changes that happened, and that, you know, and I got to say that I need, you know, being 49 years old, I needed help. So
yeah,
the doctor gave me this, you know, wouldn't give me the surgery at first. You got to lose like 60 pounds or you might die on the table. So I did.
Wow.
You know, basically on my own, and then went back to him, you know, a month and a half later and got the surgery done. And,
can I ask what kind of surgery?
It's called the gastric sleeve.
Okay.
Which is a newer procedure. And basically,
it's less invasive, right? Or less?
Yeah, it was 45 minutes in the operating table, you know. And I was out walking around 22 hours later, going walking around the mall and going to movies.
Wow. And so you felt?
They want you to be active afterwards because of blood clots and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, but after the surgery, weight fell off really quickly. And what's unique about this operation, and not speaking in like a medical genius or anything like that, is It's guaranteed portion control. You know what I mean? You can't eat much. You can eat 3 ounces or 4 ounces of food, and you start feeling full after just the first couple bites. So it's like mentally it's like really easy to deal with for me anyway, because it's like I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
You know, every meal feels like Thanksgiving.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's like – so, you know, and they tell you to juice and all that stuff, and I do that on, you know, or take protein drinks and stuff like that to make sure I get enough nutrition. But essentially, you can't eat very much.
Is that more of a problem, not eating enough?
Well, it will be once you get to your goal weight. You know, once I get down to like 200 pounds, then it'll be like – then it's like a situation where I'm going to have to make sure I eat 5 or 6 times a day so that I don't, you know, get too skinny.
That's a lot of 155 pounds in how many months?
Yeah.
Since I had the surgery May 7th, but the
really – He had to lose the weight before.
Yeah, the main weight loss started around, you know, beginning of April.
Wow.
And March, so.
Wow. So what's the biggest thing that losing that much weight – has changed you?
Well,
other than obviously physical.
It's the really hard thing that's to get around in your head is how different people treat you. Some people they don't even consider it an issue. Like it's like I've known Jackie for a long time. I've never ever felt self-conscious around her or anything like that.
Right.
But it's like you go to regular places and they just here's your whatever. See ya. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, my God. Go to do your laundry at the laundromat, which I do. And all of a sudden people talk to you instead of you'd sit down and then, people would sit elsewhere. So.
Wow.
And it's just strange.
I mean, you hear about that, but I never really thought about it,
Right.
Well, some people, judge you just for who you are because,
Yeah.
And other people judge you by the way you look.
Yeah.
And you can always tell the ones that have never really judged you by the way you look, but by the way you act. It's like there's a place I go to, for lunch all the time, and they've never said anything negative, whatever, ever.
Yeah.
And it's like telling me, I lost a bunch of weight. You look different. What's up? And I lost a bunch of weight. They never noticed, and you have to show them a picture of me and go, oh, yeah, I see what you're talking about.
Wow.
But then, and I'm not saying not noticing is a bad thing to, all my friends and stuff. Hey, you look great. I love all you guys. But it's like the thing is that it's the strangers that judge you like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And they judge you like – I know now that I was, eating way too much and all that stuff. But you get used to so much. You get used to everything in life. It all happens so gradually. So
right.
Let me ask you this. Just listening to you talk, you've said so many things that have kind of caught my attention. Because I do think about how we judge people that are overweight. Yeah. But do you think part of it is that when we're overweight, when we don't feel our best, we judge ourselves and we pull into a shell, and maybe we don't do things the same that we do.
The confidence level.
I mean, don't you think
changes.
You
exist?
Maybe not.
You're absolutely correct in that. And that's the thing that's different.
I know it's a double-edged kind of thing.
Right.
But the thing is that I was incredibly depressed and I about everything. I mean, everything was a labor to get it to stand up and everything like that. So I felt bad about the way that I looked. I couldn't go buy nice clothes. I couldn't do anything. So I gave off negative vibes whether I knew it or not.
Right.
And I knew that. And it's like relationships would turn bad, And then when you realize you take like a self-ownership of like, yes, I was a food addict. I did eat too much all the time. But you don't think you are. And you don't think of yourself as this, 450-pound dude. You just look away from the mirror and you don't think about it.
Right.
And your head and your heart are still the same.
Yeah. But I'm saying is like it was giving off such negative energy. And, one of the things when you're that heavy, you have sleep apnea. So I was never really falling asleep except during sessions when or whatever, and it's like the client would think, hey, he doesn't give a crap about my music because he just fell asleep in the middle of a session because I haven't slept well in weeks.
I've heard that sleep apnea really like is a lot more common.
Well, I had it really bad and it's gone now, so now I don't have any of that issue at all. I mean, it used to be I'd worry about myself driving because I'd just fall asleep. You know what I mean? And it's weird. You can't sleep at night, but you can easily just nod off during the day after you've been several weeks of having sleep apnea or several months or several years or whatever.
And there's so many studies that show that not getting enough sleep is one of the reasons we overeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all of it, it's like connected.
It's like having a drug addiction. It's like if anything goes bad in your life, bacon can fix it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever.
What do you miss?
Right.
Whatever. Right. Well, I don't miss anything because I can still eat whatever I want.
Right.
Some things don't feel as good as others, but I can have a bite of bacon and it's all I need. Cool.
So, Kevin, do you monitor your weight daily or weekly or what do you do?
Once every couple weeks.
Once every couple weeks?
I mean, pretty much I'm barely eating one meal a day of what I used to eat. So it's, dropping off.
And
is it still falling off?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Jackie.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I just
had a, you know, you get plateaus and then all of a sudden you lose 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's like I've lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks.
I love that you post it on Facebook too, your successes, because I think that, you know, that's inspiring. And you have a huge support team, because I always read or support team.
But blessed. Very blessed.
Yeah, you really do, because I look at the comments that people write and everybody's so excited for you and so proud of you.
Well, that's really wonderful, and it's nice to know that you have some, you know, impact on people's lives.
Sure.
And I don't know the stories of these two individuals, but one of the two of the people that really kind of inspired me is, like, I saw a picture of Ty Stone and he's like one quarter of what he used to be. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know, I saw that and it just looks great. And then there's this client of mine, Jerry, and he lost a bunch of weight too. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be the last fat guy in Detroit. You know, it's like I used to tell people, it's like, I'm easy to describe. I'm going to be the biggest guy you see today. And unless you go to like a football game or something.
So you told fat jokes.
Self-deprecation,
right.
Deprecating humor is easy when you're fat. And then when you're, I'm still a big dude. I still got like 100 pounds to lose, but I've lost 150 something, so it's like it feels good. But the thing is, when you're a big guy, all you got is humor.
Yeah.
So, you know, my wife didn't get any of my jokes, so.
So that's why she's not your wife.
What does she say about it? I'm curious.
Oh, she's supportive. I mean, she's supportive, and you know, that's the other thing. It's like, why did my relationship go bad with my wife? What's my fault? Not hers. You know, it's like she was just telling me to lose weight, and I was telling you, hey, you're putting me down, but I really did need to lose weight. I didn't listen soon enough. So that's the thing. It's like you got to take charge of things.
And right.
Just, it's not anybody's fault but my own. I mean, my life and every relationship in my life is a reflection of what I think of myself and what I think of in the way I treat other people. So you really have to – I mean, my suggestion to everybody that if you think you got a problem with weight, do something about it, because everything will get better. And not because you look better, and not because some people – you'll be healthier. You'll
right.
be around. You'll be around for those that love you
right.
already,
and,
you know?
I guess what I always think about with weight is that we stop doing things that we love to do.
Right.
Because either we're self-conscious it won't work, or we won't be as good at it. Or like you said, you know, you were taking your son to dinner and to the movies. Now you're taking them places that...
Yeah, we went to Cedar Point. We went to the zoo.
Yeah.
We went to Greenfield Village.
Oh,
we went to so many places. My son said, Dad, can we just stay home this weekend? And I'm like, sure.
No, I have 100 more pounds to go. Let's go.
You know, and it's like, and I just think back. I mean, this year has been so blessed for me. And the weight loss is like, you know, it's a reflection of how I started feeling about myself. And how I start, you know, I know how much I really cared about about my son, you know. It's like,
so,
and then everything else is positive because I'm positive, you know.
So let's talk about some of the other things that have happened, especially with your career.
Well, I mean, aside from having Fall Out Boy come to the studio, which was huge, and you know, it's like when I started doing this like seriously for a living, everybody wanted to be Fall Out Boy or Hawthorne Heights, or My Chemical Romance, and I've had the pleasure of working with Fall Out Boy and Hawthorne Heights.
Right.
So that's great. And
does Fall Out Boy know that their phone call, you know, really had that effect on you?
We did have a, you know, conversation about that.
I think that's so cool.
And I don't really want to quote the guy because it's not my place to do it, but you know, he's had a similar experience, and it was nice to talk to him about that. You know what I mean? It was nice. I mean, he turned out, you know, it was just Patrick that was at the studio, and he is like the nicest, most talented person you'll ever meet. You won't find somebody nicer, more gracious, and talented. And he's a gearhead like I am, so we had lots to talk about. So it was great. It was great to have him in the studio and to see his work process and stuff like that. It's like it was somewhat, you know, like a master class, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean – people dream – I mean, musicians dream, and I'm still a musician, dream about the success that they've had.
Right.
And the success that they've had twice, because they were, you know, the quintessential pop punk band, one that started it all. And now they're not really a pop punk band, but they're more like a, you know, a pop
– mainstream.
Mainstream pop band. And it's no accident. They're extremely talented. I mean, very talented, you know, and – you know, one of the things I learned is, I mean, they did hundreds of demos, hundreds of songs to get to the 12 or 14 that are on the last record.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
And they wrote something every, you know, must have been writing 2-3 songs every day to get that.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe in the law of attraction?
Law, well, not really.
Oh, you don't? So you don't feel that, you don't believe that the changes that you've gone through because it changed your personality started attracting different people in your life? Like,
well, I mean, I didn't attract Fall Out Boy because I was thinner.
No, I don't mean that. It's not about that.
Because I had a certain set of gear.
No, that's not really what it means, because you had that set of gear long before that. Yeah. So what I'm talking about is there's an energy you put out when you feel different about yourself.
Yeah,
and
well,
different
I
people
agree,
come into your life.
I agree with that, but I mean, it's again, it's positive energy. I mean,
right.
If, say, for example, as like I'm thinking about it like this: if this guy doesn't have his life in order, how is he going to make my music better?
Right.
You know what I mean? How is he right. gonna? He's how is he gonna make? You know, because how is he gonna? You know, keep his stuff in a group to make
right.
sure that my music ends up the way that I envision it.
Right.
And I think that's a reflection on my business and stuff like that.
Let me ask a question, because the two of you know each other and you
yes.
know the music business, Jackie, far better than I do. And of course, Kevin, you know it better than Jackie. But I don't.
Yeah.
And
okay.
so I'm sitting here thinking of our listeners. Tell us what you do. The studio you're talking about that's 4,000 square feet.
Yeah, well, it's Metro 37 Recording Studio. We're in Rochester Hills. And it's 4 studios, so we can accommodate 4 different projects at any given time. Plus, there's 24 hours in a day, so we can do multiple projects. Excuse me. I'm good, thanks. But I own the studio, and then I have engineers that work for me, and I sometimes engineer and sometimes produce.
So bands contact you.
Right, and they book studio time, and we do our best.
And you help them make their music better.
Pretty much. That's what a producer is supposed to do. I mean,
okay.
I mean, the definition of a producer from the 60s was like he was the guy that was responsible to make sure that they delivered a radio-ready song. And the band, whoever the band may be or singer may be, may have only made a few records, if any. So they hire somebody that's made many records to make sure that they get something that can make them money back on their investment. And now with everybody being primarily independent, they just look for people that got a good track record, and then we discuss with them the best way about it. Sometimes you have a lot of control over the creativity. Sometimes you're just recording the band. It depends. And you try to offer stuff that's beneficial and make sure that they leave happy and with something that they can put out there.
Yeah. Okay. And the thing about Kevin, too, is because I have known him for years, he's extremely creative. And, he's a talented musician, too, before he's –
Is that how you got into this? You were first a musician and then
– Yeah, I was a keyboard player.
Okay.
And started playing in bands. And it's funny because it's like initially had a lot of success. I mean, like went to 19 years old playing in front of 3,000 people at the Fox Theater. And then it just kind of went downhill from there, just in relationship to the way the music business works.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that – the way music is, and I think most musicians feel this way, is that 9 gigs are – I wish I was anywhere but here. But then you get one gig that's so amazing and everybody gets into it and you got people, clapping and stuff. And then it recharges you enough for the next 9
right.
gigs that aren't so good. Then
right.
you have another good – just when you're going to quit, you have this great gig.
Mm, yeah.
And
Jean-Paul, when he was working on his fight song for the school,
oh yeah,
I said – you need to go work with Kevin, because Kevin will put it together for you. He'll help you with it. He's going to make it a really cool rock and roll song.
That is an amazing
song. That's what happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun working with him, especially since he had really, really good ideas to begin with, and we're just implementing them. It's just a matter of – it's like listening, and it's like this part's really cool, and this part isn't so cool. And I'm actually quoting another producer, and I forget who it is, but the main thing is like, why is this part so cool and this part not so cool?
Yeah.
And let's make every part this cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's kind of how, the approach I take with –
it's like an editor in a way for a book.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of that. Yeah, it would be like the writer's super talented, but the editor's edited thousands of books. So he goes through and edits it and corrects problems. And then, hey, we don't really need to talk about, this for so long. And it'll be much more effective if we eliminate that. So a lot of what I do is like take a 5-minute song that's good and make a 3.5-minute song that's, action packed.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yes. That's
now,
love it.
I saw a picture of you and Big Sean.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you work with him?
Well, he came to the studio. Unfortunately, I was booked on another project that night, so Ryan worked with him. Ryan
Oh, Rainey. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool.
Do people just pop in?
No. Actually, yes. A lot of times when we get the big celebrities, it's because they're in town. You know, because they're here.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, and
do you advertise?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we have a website and do some stuff.
Like, who would you love to pop in or somebody call you up? Who's your next phone call?
Oh, Frank Sinatra would be one, but that would be tough. Miles Davis would be the next, and that would be require an act of God. So, yeah. I mean, really, anybody that's relevant. I mean, that, you know, that's, that reflects well on us when relevant artists come in, people you heard of.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I mean, any band from the, you know, my youth, because, you know, I grew up in, you know, my, I, you know, graduated high school in 84, so, you know, Journey, Foreigner, stuff like that. And so there's a lot of bands I'd like to work with. I mean, but, you know, it's necessity, convenience, and ability.
Yeah.
So they need to record something. They need the necessity to do it, and then they want a place that has the ability to pull it off. So, you know, we've become that.
Right.
People know we can do it.
Yeah.
We have a track record. So we get the artists that – we're getting the artists that we would like to work with at levels.
Right. How would you describe the music business right now?
Well, on the highest level – and the one thing that I will quote that the, you know, Patrick from Fall Out Boy said, and goes, we go to these award shows and I see the old guard, the old executives from the major labels, and they're, I think of them as dinosaurs looking at the comet coming in to take out their entire generation of dinosaurs. And they go, oh, I've seen bigger. That's pretty much a quote, what he said.
Interesting.
But the way I feel about the industry right now, or the music business right now, personally, as it's reinventing itself, you need to be independent, or, you know, or sign mutual benefits agreements with labels, and you need to work your butt off.
Right.
Nobody's going to, you know, unless you're like a Katy Perry type, nobody's going to make you. But if you find out these backstories, like, you know, Katy Perry.
Well, Katy Perry worked her ass off too.
Oh, I know. She did. I mean, yeah. she was a, you know, contemporary Christian singer. Then she was a backup
signed
singer.
And dropped them. Yeah. How many times? Three or four times.
You know, and then backup singer for POD during their heyday and all that stuff. And then boom, you think, oh, she's, you know, huge. But reality is it was a 10 years of hard work, 10 years getting good at what you're doing, followed by 10 years of hard work, and then you're an overnight success.
Right.
Isn't that
That's
so
what people
true?
Don't
That's
understand.
Why we love this segment.
Right.
That it takes a lot of time.
Right.
And I know, I can't think of anybody that didn't, that successful, that didn't work their butt off.
Right.
I mean, it takes that constant, consistent, you know, making connections, connecting the dots, doing everything that you've done. And I guess, you know, we're running out of time as usual, and it's always so frustrating when Jessica's giving me the 7-minute mark.
I know. Well, at least she's not flipping you off. What?
Yet. What have you learned about yourself in all of this with what you've done with your business life and your personal life and this great transformation that you've undergone in the last 7 months? What have you learned most? What do you know about Kevin Sharp now that you didn't know? Or maybe you always knew it.
Well, I didn't always do it. My problems are my problems. You know what I mean? Everything that happens to me is my fault. It's nobody else's fault. It's my fault. And until I decided to take ownership to every problem that I had, you know, if I hadn't done that, I'd still be, you know, 450 pounds, miserable, and I would have had somebody else, you know, do the work with these people, and I would never even shown up. But instead, I could walk in proudly with my son and say, hey, there's my son. You know, Big Sean, get a picture with him, you know?
Yeah, I saw that.
And, you know, and it's like, and it's my son that's like the most important thing to me. And to be able to do stuff that he's heard of these people, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and it's like, I get to work with, you know, I get to work with, you know, not to name drop, but I'm working with Vixen this weekend. And Vixen was on MTV when I was a kid, and I had a crush on
all of them.
I had a crush on all of
them. On the show, not Vixen, but
Madam X.
Yeah, Madam X and.
Yeah. Well, that Madam X, you know, that's, you know, so to sum it up, I mean, my problems are my problems. I was overweight because it was me. It was anybody else's fault. You know, if my studio fails, it would be my fault, nobody else's fault. If it does well, it'll be my, you know. So it'd be my fault as well. I mean, it's not fault, but I guess.
You know, that's amazing.
You just have to, I mean, if you got a problem, whatever it is,
it's your problem. You need to fix it. Well, and they don't make any more excuses. You know, if I was only, you know, it's like, I was right. One of the thoughts that I had is like, I was driving down the road. Why am I the fat guy? Why am I the, I would do so much better if I wasn't like this. At least I'd be able to walk around and go to the store or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, the answer to that question, Kevin, is you ate too much. And you need to do something about it.
Yeah. And you did.
Yeah. And well, it's like the operation part of it. And the thing is that, you know, I learned bad habits when I was a kid, really bad habits. And they're hard to unlearn. So, you know, by getting the operation, oh, is it cheating? Well, no.
It was an aid.
It's a tool. It's not cheating. I mean, you...
Well, you recognize that you had to do something and you got the right help.
Right. And
that's why those tools are available.
Right. And it's like, it's not cheating.
Not at
all. Like, I could have continued to lose weight, but then some sort of event would have happened in my life, say, over the summer or whatever.
It.
And I would go back to
thing,
because it's like you feel better right away when you eat something, or you feel better right away when you have a cigarette, or you feel better right away when you have a drink.
Yeah.
It changes your mood in a second, and you know that. And people use that to cope with the things that life throws at you. And we all need things we can cope with, but to help cope. But if it becomes
those are short term.
Yeah, I know. If it becomes a problem, then you need to do something different. And then I'm blessed that I was able to recognize that before it was too late.
Last question, and then I know we have to wrap it up. What advice do you have for other people? I think you've pretty much said it. Do something about it. But what advice would you give people that are overweight that want to lose weight?
Well, don't blame you. I mean, don't shame yourself, but then do something about it. You know what I mean? It's not really that hard to lose weight. People say, oh, it's so hard. Well, it's hard to change your eating habits. It's not hard to lose weight. So if you just change your eating habits, whether you go have a gastric, you know, sleeves to surgery or whatever other one is out there, or you just change your diet and you exercise more and you just stick to it. It's like one thing exercising is about as addicting as eating. You do it, you feel really good, and you can't wait till the next time you do it. And as long as you keep doing it, you still feel that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, my advice is to just do something and don't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I'd have done this 10 years ago. If I'd have done this 15 years ago, how much different would my life be?
Well, what was that breaking point for you? I was just curious. What was the point where you were like, all right, this is enough. I have to do something about it.
Well, that phone call.
Yeah. Well, the phone call was one thing, but I mean, I went to the, what really got me starting to think about it and be more depressed about it and leading to whatever. I went to the hospital when I had an infection in my leg. And they're like, we're going to give you some antibiotic. We're going to try to save your leg.
Jeez.
You know, and it's like I had, you know, these big scars on my legs and sores and my toes had turned black. And like, well, you know, you're a couple months away from losing your feet.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it's like
that would do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then it's like they did blood work and stuff. And, you know, Mr. Sharp, you're pretty healthy for someone that's morbidly obese.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be
you know what I mean? It's like, so it's like, and then you get depressed about being morbidly obese and you go to Ram's Horn and order, you know, some potato skins.
Cheeseburger. Well, you know what?
And meatloaf.
With gravy.
Yes.
We do have to wrap this up. But
thanks so much for having me on the show.
Listen, I do have to say, because I've worked with you for a long time, so I've seen this whole journey and I just can't be more excited for you. You're just really a great inspiration in a lot of ways, not just about weight loss, but the fact that you can own up to things and make the change, that's a great,
that's huge,
great role model for Casey and for a lot of people.
Right.
So, thank you. Well,
and you know, it is by, and this is the thing, this whole segment is about if you share your story, it enriches hopefully not just your life, but our life.
Right.
And we all learn from that because whether it's, eating too much or drinking too much or whatever it is, we all have things that, we need to work at.
Okay,
so.
It's time for famous fortune
cookies. Can I say one more thing?
One more thing. You can say as much as you want.
I undid 14 years of messing myself up in 6 months.
That's amazing.
Pretty, so anybody out there that feels like, oh, it's unsurmountable. I mean, I had to lose 250 pounds. In 6 months, I've lost 150 because I did something about it. So don't wait anymore.
And that's awesome.
Just do it.
Great story. Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
Okay, we do have our fortune cookies. Now, you know how this works, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, and these are low calorie, too. These are not bad. So
that's
we're
going
to toss these cookies, but we have that candle there, Denise, and it's going to catch on fire, and then we're going to end up paying for everything here.
Eating one cookie is fine. Eating the whole box.
No, I know.
See, that's the part that
All right, Kevin, this one is facing you, so that's yours. Jessica, I think that one's yours. Denise, that's yours.
All right.
And we have to go through and read them, and we didn't forget how to do this now, did we, because we were gone last week?
No.
So what? How do we end this?
Crack open the cookie, pull out the fortune,
and
I'll go first. Luck will visit you on the next new moon in bed.
All right.
All right. I'm working on a story about the moon.
In bed? Is that a children's book?
Yeah, it's a full moon.
Is that going to come with a paper bag around it?
No, actually, it is a children's book, and it is about the moon. Staying full.
Oh, wow. Okay, mine says your emotional... Wait. Yeah, your emotional nature is strong and sensitive in bed.
Ooh. Your emotional state?
Yeah.
What about your physical state?
Well, obviously we...
Weak?
Yeah, you are... I can't believe you just said that. Wow. Did you hear that, Jessica?
I did.
What a beat.
There will be a fight in the parking lot at Podcast Detroit in about 10 minutes if anybody would like to come view it.
Oh, my God. Anyway, go ahead, Kevin, before she starts getting ready.
All right. Mine says, you will be lucky in love.
Ooh.
Wow. In bed.
Or in the studio. Okay, go ahead, Jessica.
Or in the bed in the studio.
Yeah. Mine's always about fortune, money, and success.
I want yours.
No, mine.
Oh.
Get your own.
Okay.
But this one's in bed, so, whatever.
Yeah.
You will be fortunate in the opportunities presented to you in bed.
Wow.
Burr, burr.
Okay, so, wait a minute. So, thank you, Kevin, for being here.
Yes.
So, Metro 37 recording in
Rochester
Hills. You can look him up, get a hold of him, and he's...
So, if I want to make an album, do I go there?
He'll probably say no, but I'll say it for you. No. I'll take care of that for you,
right.
Kevin.
Yeah, but if you want to make a record, you can come make a record.
All right. See.
Anyway, okay. What's our sip on this
okay,
today, Denise?
Our sip on this is so simple, but over
it's
Thanksgiving, a couple people brought me a bottle of Bailey's.
Oh. So
and there are so many wonderful things that you can do with Bailey's. All I did was put it on ice and we're sipping on
it. This is so good.
But
no,
I do have to tell you that there's a lot of different... flavors. You should go check it out. And of course, you can make a lot of different drinks. And I have one last thing to share. The name Bailey's was originally a code name used during the development of the liqueur.
Oh, cool.
And like all great names, it stuck.
By the way, you just reminded me, Frank Sinatra would have been 100 this year because you said you wanted to work with him. Yeah. So our song that we're going to end the show with in our dedication to Kevin is...
Journey, Don't Stop Believing, which fits pretty well.
It fits perfect. Now, next week, we have country superstar Alan Turner.
And
we're
going to
have a packed house. It's going to be a great show.
You need to find a cowgirl on that.
Alan, tell them. What's your name? Kevin.
My name is Kevin.
The niceness is wearing off.
Alan Turner.
We're going to end the show.
He's one of my best clients. And he's number four
cool
this
guy.
Week on the Country Inspiration Charts.
How exciting.
Number four.
Yes.
Number four.
And he's
four.
And in fact, I think he's going to perform live next week here. So I have to confirm that with him.
But
he jumped like 16 spots. So next month he might be.
Wow.
Number three.
This is exciting.
Number one.
Very nice. All right.
I jinxed it. Sorry, Alan.
So, I'm so excited. Well, again, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Jackie. I missed you. I'm so glad we're back together again. We have to sign off. So remember, sometimes your only available transportation
is a leap of faith.
A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on.
This is a previously recorded episode.